You probably know the basic story. A girl and a guy meet, they're not crazy about each other, and then a series of funny and unexpected events take place. And at the end of it all, everyone but the audience is surprised that the two somehow fall in love. It's the classic arc of romantic comedy. But there's another element that's pretty common across the genre, the way women are talked about and treated, according to our next guest. Take a listen.
Now, she might say, this is a really bad time for me. Or something like, I just need some space. Or my personal favorite, I'm really into my career right now. You believe that? Neither does she. You know why? Because she's lying to you.
Want to spend the night in a motel? See what I did? I didn't let it lie.
Harry.
I said I would, and then I didn't.
Harry.
I went the other way.
Harry.
What?
We are just going to be friends, okay?
Great, friends. It's the best thing.
I know ladies don't seek to seem too easy.
Mr. Collins, I am perfectly serious. You could not make me happy, and I'm convinced I'm the last woman in the world who could make you happy.
I flatter myself, cousin, that your refusal is merely a natural delicacy.
Vivian, I'm speaking to you. Come back here. I hate to point out the obvious, but you are, in fact, a hooker, and you are my employee.
Look, you don't own me. I decide, okay? I say who, I say when, I say who.
It's not a bad time for her. She doesn't need any space. And she may be into her career, but what she's really saying is, get away from me now, or possibly try harder, stupid.
And those are clips from various romantic rom-coms. Hitch, When Harry Met Sally, Pride and Prejudice, and Pretty Woman. In a lot of those movies, women are often struggling to make clear that they're not interested in a man. My next guest says that the genre is partly to blame for the way women are undermined in day-to-day life. Megan Garber joins me now. Megan, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, you write that romantic comedies, like the clips we just heard there, they tend to blur the line between romantic exertion and sexual violence. Can you give me some examples of where you see that?
Sure. Well, I think Hitch was a perfect example of that in that opening monologue. Just this idea that, you know, she may say one thing, but she very well could mean the other. And just that sort of ignoring of what she says can actually, I think, be really problematic. Because if you ignore what a woman says, you know, you can always just accept that, you know, if you are very persistent, then yes will eventually be the answer.
And you talk about and you write about the romantic comedy Say Anything, where John Cusack plays Lloyd Dobler. This is one of the quintessential romantic comedies. And I don't know, I kind of liked that movie in the 80s, and now Reframed Through Your Eyes, now I can see it's kind of creepy. He shows up with a boombox outside her window and won't leave. Tell us about how you see that particular scene.
Yeah, I mean, I think so much of it comes down to, you know, what the woman wants. If she is into Lloyd Dobler, then that's a wonderful romantic gesture. And if she's not, then it's going to be completely creepy. You have this guy who you're not interested in showing up in front of your bedroom. The show How I Met Your Mother actually frames this in a really interesting way. I think they have what's called the Dobler-Dahmer theory. And the theory goes basically, if you are into the romantic pursuer, then you're going to see, you know, showing up at your bedroom window or something equivalent to that as supremely romantic and a wonderful gesture. If you are not into the person, then you might see them more as akin to Jeffrey Dahmer, who is, of course, the serial killer. So it really does come down to, you know, how you see the person who's pursuing you.
A pretty big spectrum there. Well, in that particular movie, I think that was something like late 80s, Say Anything, the Lloyd Dobler example, and that was a long time ago. Have things changed since then in romantic comedies?
I think they have a little bit. I think that we just as a general culture have become a little bit more aware of the problems and pitfalls that might be embedded in romantic comedies. I mean, even the clip you played of Pretty Woman, you know, she's saying, I say who, I say when. You know, so there's an awareness that women need to have agency in this dynamic as well. But I think still there's a lot of potentially problematic things out there. There's the site TV Tropes has a whole section of its website called Stalking is Love that lists, you know, all these different times that rom-coms have sort of equated stalking with great grand romantic gestures. And I do think that, that can sort of, in real life, it can actually confuse people on both ends. You know, where is that line? And how do you sort of tell the difference between what is romantic and what is creepy?
Right, and you mentioned the agency of the women themselves, and that's another problem you some of the time have with these movies is that the women, they're kind of wimpy about things, or they don't have much of a personality at all, and it's just all about the man's pursuit. How do you think that maybe takes itself as a stamp for how women should behave in real life?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does sort of assume, you know, this kind of hunting dynamic where the men are the hunters and the women are the hunted. And you know, it sort of solidifies these very regressive ideas about how, you know, in this case, women and men should relate to each other. So, yeah, I think it does sort of it's very problematic in a very sort of subtle way, I guess.
I think about the heyday of the romantic comedy as sort of being the Meg Ryan era. Have things changed in the way? I mean, there are still these grand gestures, as you talked about, but do you think maybe the women themselves written in these roles have changed in romantic comedies?
I think a little bit. And you know, we're especially seeing some interesting things on TV in that regard, not just in films, but I think of The Mindy Project, for example, which is basically a TV series long rom-com in which Mindy Kaling, who she herself as a creator has said that she's a big fan of the rom-com as a genre, but she, I think, goes out of her way to sort of, you know, make that character very empowered when it comes to her romantic relationships. And, you know, there's a lot of decision-making on her part as well as on the part of her various boyfriends.
We're talking with Megan Garber right now. She's a staff writer at The Atlantic, where she covers culture. And you can see her article about how romantic comedies can undermine women on the Central Time Facebook page. And talking about that undermine aspect of our conversation now, do you think that women do get undermined? You know, if there is a persistent pursuer who's trying to date a woman, get her to like him, do you think that women today are undermined when they say, no, I'm not really into you because of movies like the ones we just listened to a little bit of?
I certainly do. I think, you know, and it's subtle. I don't want to overstate the point. I mean, you know, these are movies. This is Hollywood. You know, these are obviously sort of fantastical representations of the world at large. But there have been studies, I should say, you know, of the way that people sort of take in rom-coms as movies, and people who saw rom-coms were much less apt to see stalking behavior, as we would define it sort of legally, as something that would be problematic. The rom-coms essentially sort of condition them to think, no, that's just romance. It's okay. So, you know, there are these connections between Hollywood and the real world. And I can't help thinking, actually, back to, there was an article that got passed around earlier this fall, written by a man who was trying to advise fellow men about how to talk to a woman wearing headphones. I don't know if you saw that article, but it got a lot of negative attention on the internet. And it was basically the step-by-step guide for how to, if you came across a woman in the wild who was wearing headphones, how to disarm her and make her talk to you. And it was just gross. There's really no other way to say it. But I actually felt bad for the author because, you know, he could well have thought that this is what you do, you know, to make a woman like you, is you just sort of persistently disarm her. So it's I think it's a very complicated thing.
Well, yeah, you used the word confusion before, and you said there is confusion among men. I mean, maybe some men do have kind of creepy intentions, but maybe a lot of men just want to be romantic. And if that's what they're seeing, how does anyone know what's genuinely romantic and what is, you know, crossing a line?
Exactly. This article actually came out of a conversation I was having with some coworkers about that very thing, that, you know, behavior that they had witnessed in public. I live in D.C., so on the D.C. metro, you know, men coming up to them and, you know, trying to get them to you know, take off their earbuds and all of these things. And it truly is, I think, just a matter of confusion, really, and not, you know, the men not knowing how to behave, everyone in general sort of being a little bit confused about where those lines fall. But I do think that often you can look to the rom-coms and say, well, they're not treating women as the women themselves would want to be treated in those cases.
Right, and gender norms seem like they are shifting to a certain extent. Maybe not as much as we think, but I mean, it seems like there's ambiguity about, you know, how much persistence a woman, you know, would enjoy when someone is interested in her. And maybe vice versa, too, if a woman is pursuing someone else that she's interested in dating. I mean, do you think, where is a healthy place to look, I guess?
Ah, that's a great question. I'm not exactly sure where there's one, you know, sort of definitive place. I do think, actually, though, that television, for my money, in terms of just cultural output, television is doing a lot more interesting things than film in a lot of ways, in large part because it can move just slightly faster than film. But I think we're seeing a lot more of, first of all, not just heteronormative relationships. You know, there are a lot of different types of relationships on display in TV. I think there's just a lot more diversity on TV in general. So that's probably a better place to look right now than films. Of course, that's a massive generalization, but I think that would be one place.
I mean, do you think some of these old rom-coms, do they still hold up for you? Do you still enjoy them? I mean, I would have said, I'm still going to say it, When Harry Met Sally is one of my favorite movies, and, you know, now I do sort of see the creeptastic behavior in that movie that I didn't see before. Same with Lloyd Dobler. I mean, can we still watch these things, or is it better to kind of, you know, shelve them for a while?
I still love them, and I still watch them, and I agree. When Harry Met Sally is one of my favorite movies as well. I love Sleepless in Seattle, all those. I think it's just a matter of sort of having that sense of not suspending disbelief when it comes to watching those movies, that you have that sort of healthy distance of, you know, this is fantasy, this is fairy tale, this is, you know, what Hollywood at a certain point decided was normal when it comes to romantic relationships. And you can still enjoy them a lot, you know, with that attitude. But I think as long as you have a little bit of a guard up in terms of this isn't really behavior that would translate to the real world, then they can just be, you know, fairy tales and enjoyable.
Well, right. Nice. So if you watch it with a teenage daughter, say, I mean, do you owe it to her to sort of explain that maybe this is not very acceptable behavior? You probably don't want this in your dating partner.
I would do that, certainly, and also to teenage sons as well, to just say, you know, girls might not like this, like they seem to like it on the screen. You might want to actually talk to them and have more of a human-to-human conversation. I think that's one of the things that I didn't like about the rom-coms, was that it sort of, in a lot of ways, takes the humanity out of the equation in the guise of the most, you know, human thing imaginable, which is romance. They sort of take away the real personalities. So I think as long as we come at them with an idea that really what you want is human-to-human interaction, then it's good.
I'm thinking about some of the movies with Amy Schumer, Trainwreck, for example, where the woman is sort of is cast in a mode that would typically have been the man's role, where he's, I don't know, sleeping around or drinking or playing the field, not wanting to settle down. Does that kind of gender typecast reversal, does that work, do you think?
I think it does for what it is. I love Trainwreck. I found it refreshing to find a woman playing that role. I don't think that it's 100% of a good thing. You know, there's going to always be issues with someone who is just so kind of selfish and, you know, not behaving in a way that's good for everyone involved in the movie. But I did find it nice to find that gender flipping going on. And I think, you know, we're all experimenting. We're all sort of figuring things out together, and movies are going to reflect that, TV is going to reflect that, and I think that, you know, Trainwreck is one more step, you know, toward coming up to something that hopefully is a little more humanistic and nice to see on the screen.
And as we wrap up, you mentioned TV is a good place to look for healthy romantic models. Are there any of those older movies, though, that you think do pass the test and are just plain romantic?
Well, I would say one of my favorites is His Girl Friday, which obviously goes back into the distant past of cinema. But I think, you know, that witty repartee that they have, I think there's something really wonderful about that just kind of, there's a nice equality there despite their different, you know, professions. And obviously, despite the title of the movie, there's a way that they were equals. So I think that's a nice thing to look at. I mean, I think throughout cinematic history, you can find sort of examples that buck the trends of their times, and those are always good to focus on.
Megan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Megan Garber, staff writer at The Atlantic, where she covers culture, and you can see her article about how romantic comedies can undermine women on the Central Time Facebook page.